Welcome to Coffee with the Sarlows. We are your hosts of the show, Karen and Kelly Sarlo. Whether you're struggling with grief or you just need answers, we connect you with spirit to find relief, clarity, and direction in life. We can help you move forward.
Hi, Kelly.
Good morning.
I spun the globe.
Okay.
And I landed in Brazil, and the name is Bruna.
Okay.
And if you're new to our podcast show, we make up names of our clients by going all around the world so that we can share stories and not identify the clients in any way, shape, or form. And I'm having a ton of fun with the names, as cool. You guys all know. Okay, so Bruna, at the beginning of her session, oh my God, Kelly, I can't even tell you. Do you remember when you would go through your day when you were channeling and it would be medium, psychic, future, and then somebody would ask you for past lives for the whole hour?
Yeah.
And how, like, did you feel the same as me?
Yeah.
Did you lose your shit and joy? Mm-hmm. Like, that you got to access someone's past lives and use that skill set?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's one of my most favorite types of sessions, but I just find that there aren't a lot of them anymore.
There's a different level of openness to those clients.
Yeah.
And it's not to say that the people who access medium or psychic don't have openness. We all know we've done beautiful sessions with those individuals too. You just have to be on a different level to do past lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Bruna says to me at the beginning, I just want my entire time of past lives. And I don't really understand them, but I understand you do them. And I'm super interested in them. I can't totally figure out the why and everything. I'm going to let you handle it.
Cool.
She says, I'm just here to sort of like figure out what this is. Her very first life, I see Bruna with tons of children. And well, late in life. So I ask the spirit guides approximately how many children. And they say, well, there's children and then there's pregnancies because she loses children as well, in miscarriages, but she also loses like stillborns. Mm. Like there's a variety. So there's at least over a dozen children, but there's even more pregnancies. And I said to them, holy geez, like when did she start then? And they said, oh, she was married off when she was like 13. And I'm like, oh, so you mean to say that she starts having children at around 13 years old? And they said, oh, yes, by 14, she's had her first child. So there's tons of children in this life. And the guides explain no ability to go to school. Like there's no chance by where she lives, by location, by responsibility, that it's a full-time job being a parent. Like that is a full-time job. And so they start describing how she lives her day. And holy geez, Kelly, she is so on her own with all these children because a partner is like out working all of the time. And he appears to be like a farmer, like in fields, like around the area and home, like at lunch type of thing, but then back out working. So she's mostly on her own. And they show how freaking organized she is. And they specifically show it for the ability that she has to really see efficiency. That's the word I'm searching for. They really...
Ironically.
Really?
Yeah. It's part of my job. Not only as your coworker, but as your daughter.
Okay.
I love you.
So she's completely efficient in what she does. She's so caring. She's so perceptive. She has a tremendous ability to perceive things before they're even going to happen. She's in attuned with her kids. And I'm just thinking, how with so many kids? Only had two. And I think of how busy it was to be attuned to two people's personalities. And then it's like you can see how attuned she is that this child has to have things done a particular way. This one is doing it differently. So, you know, I make this adjustment for this child instead of I'm doing it my way. I'm busy. They'll have to adapt to me. I'm mom. You see where she really, oh man, Kelly, does she ever care? And it's displayed in like all of these things that she does. So they show high levels of intelligence in how she also has to fix things and how multifaceted she has to be to handle everything, not just kids, but what's going on in the house. And then there another piece that they show in that life is that when she's winding down, like when you see her, like, and I want to say something, when you see her kind of like going into what she was doing for herself, it's so creative. It's wild. And that creativity then goes right back to that she might make a way to open the curtains or something that's easier for a child that can't reach them or something. She's just brilliant in the way that she sees need and then gets creative in response to the needs. So I tell Bruna this, and she looks at me and she goes, "Oh God, you have no idea how much I needed to hear this." She says, I won't tell you why right now, but this is really important. What else do you want to tell me about it? And then is it okay if I give you my feedback as to what this does for me?" And I said, "Oh, I would love to hear that, because that helps me. It helps me understand what I'm doing in my job, but it's not necessary because it's not my business too." So then the guides say that this lifetime would be no children at all.
Good for her.
And I said to her, "Hey, Bruna, is that accurate that you have no children in this life?" And she goes, "Oh, where are you getting that information?" And I said, "Well, the guides are saying it." And she goes, "Yeah, go on. Why would they say it?" She says, "I'm not being picky." She says, "I just want to piece things together, and I promise I'll talk in a minute." And I said, "Well, the guides are saying that that lifetime was all about the children, and that's how you was the agreement in that life. But they're saying in this lifetime that there's no children." And she goes, "Could you ask them why?" And I said, "Yeah, I did. And the guide said, "Balance, universal law of balance." And she looks at me and she goes, "What?" She goes, "I thought the universal law was abundance."
Let's talk about the myriad of ways that that lifetime with no children is more than abundant.
Oh, you're so good. You're so good. I love this. I want to explain what she was saying though, mm-hmm. but I get where you were going mm-hmm. with that. And I'd like you to explain it in a minute. The guides, like, she literally sat there, Kelly, and said to me, "Wait a minute, I just thought there was abundance manifestation, like that you create what you think, you're responsible for your own life." And I said, "Well, Bruna," I said, "like, there are a whole bunch of universal laws." And she goes, "What? What do you mean there's a whole bunch of?" I said, "Oh," I said, "this must be your first session with me, and you don't know about our podcast show." And she goes, "No. You have a podcast show?" And I said, "Yes." And I said, "That's okay. That's just another thing on the side." I said, "Let's get back to the point. There are all kinds of universal laws." And she goes, "Oh, Karen, I think I need a whole session booked with you just on universal laws, because that what you just said right there helps me understand that what I must be doing in my life, trying to just think of something and then I get to manifest it because I think about it, mm-hmm. is not working. And it is, and I'm so frustrated." And I said, "Well, it can't work like that."
Mm-hmm. There's science.
Pardon me?
Science. I would like this cup to be full of chocolate right now. Wholeheartedly.
Right.
I'm going to think about that and be disappointed over and over again when there's no chocolate in it.
Exactly. And then blame yourself
for not manifesting hard enough.
Because you're not enough.
Or, you know, blame the universe for being a dick if I want to be really self-centered.
Yeah, you could fluctuate between the two for mm-hmm. your entire life while I steal from you and do anything I want to you. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Okay, because it keeps you very busy in your frustrations, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Okay, so we go back to the conversation with Bruna, but thank you for that little segue out. And I do believe that there are lots of people listening that might go, "What the fuck?" And just have to like hit the pause button and go back and re-listen to that little thing again. The guides say to her, "No, it's the universal law of balance. And there is balance between all lives. And there is balance between all your experiences in multi-dimensions. And that it's not about just finding balance as Bruna."
And balance is not punishment.
Exactly. So she says to me, "Okay." She says, "Can I speak now?" And I said, "Absolutely." She goes, "Karen, I am married. I have no children. I've chosen not to have children. My husband did not want to have children. We discussed this when we were dating. Like we've purposefully decided we're having a life together. And she says, I'm very focused on that. And when other people ask me why, which is none of their business, mm-hmm. but why wouldn't you have children? You have money, you have jobs, you have. It's like, it's my responsibility to give them children, but they're not going to raise them. They just want me to populate. And she says, and I get why. She says, I get it because the people that I'm around are of one particular religious belief that is our purpose, is to populate. And I said, okay. And she says, this is so beautiful to hear that I was a parent and how beautifully I parented. I never asked you a single word about how, like to encourage you to tell me. The spirit guides voluntarily told me what a gorgeous job I did. And she says, that makes me so happy for that life and so happy to know that not having children in this life is my soul's purpose. I'm in it. I'm on it. I'm not lacking. I am not supposed to be fill in the blank what other people want. But that my own inner knowings and my own desires and my partners and the two of us coming together really is just our business, and it is our contract, and it is the fullness of our lives. It's not a lack of, it's the fullness, which I think is what you were kind of saying earlier, right?
Yeah. And we can also talk about the fact that like, you don't have to have had that life of doing a great job and being a yeah. parent to earn, because it's not a punishment
That's
or a
right.
reward, a lifetime without children. And you don't do a lifetime without children and then therefore have to have a lifetime with children. That's not how this works. Mm-hmm. It's not punishment and reward forwards or backwards, mm-hmm. right? There is a full quality of life in both scenarios if you have chosen it consciously and you want that and accept that to be your purpose.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah. So somebody, like, I like what you're saying, because somebody could have the fullness of their soul's experience in multiple lifetimes with no children ever.
Yeah. And some people, let's cover and care for everyone here. Some people had children that did not want children. Mm-hmm. Under whatever circumstances, kept them, had to keep them, whatever it is. And they feel a lifetime of lack, a lack of peace, a lack of silence, a lack of time, a lack of all kinds of things that they yearn for. Mm-hmm. Some people had children out of choice or accident, but accepted that, and they feel abundance. And that's great. And all of the combinations are okay and fair. Mm-hmm. You get to decide for yourself what your needs are and if that life is meeting those needs. Mm-hmm. No one else gets to sit there and say, well, we call that a lack. We call that abundance.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm so happy to be doing this podcast because I'm seeing so much on social media from particular people that are really trying to shame women right now and always have. Into believing that the only life contract and only full life experience is to produce.
It's horrible. And I'm going to say this full disclosure, because my partner and I have talked about this. I consciously chose to not have children. I went into a relationship very certain that she is my lifetime partner and she has a child. Mm-hmm. And that is something that I struggle with, because I saw a life mapped out for me of mm-hmm. silence and peace and decisions that were not dependent on someone else's well-being or, mm-hmm. Survival and whatnot, right? Because parenting is a major responsibility. And so I chose to unfollow some people on social media who are proudly stating, their childless life. And I'm thrilled for them and I'm happy for them and I support them. But I can't keep taking that message on if I'm going to come to a genuine place of acceptance and redefine my idea of fulfillment if what I want is this love and this family. Mm-hmm. So we're all working at redefining things. The people who want children and find out they cannot bear children and don't feel connected to the idea of adoption or mm-hmm. surrogacy or anything like that, they are trying to redefine their idea of purpose and fulfillment when circumstances change that they didn't anticipate in the opposite direction of mine. All of those journeys are painful and beautiful and have so much potential in them if we are willing to take a different perspective of respect.
Well said.
Thanks.
Yeah. I'm just giving it a pause because it's a lot for, I think, for some people to digest.
Yeah.
Because of their own maybe stubbornness.
Righteousness.
Yeah, there's a
sadness.
Yes.
All of it.
Yes.
I think we can struggle for so many reasons with what I just said.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Brune also says to me, man, did I ever need to hear it for a whole other reason too? She said, I'm not organized. And she says, I'm not efficient. And she says, it bugs the bejeepers out of me that I'm not. She says, it's been brought to my attention in work environments that I'm not and I need to be in order to do a better job of what I'm doing and to be seen for promotion, which I want. And she says, and I know it about myself and I do nothing because I've had a belief that it's just me.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, and now I'm hearing that I've had another lifetime where it actually is me. And she said, I so needed to hear this. It's like I had this whole mindset that that's not my character and people are trying to force me to be something I'm not. So like, I think I hunkered down and just resisted it and got stubborn.
Neat.
And she says, and then here I am sitting here listening and hearing that I am all of the things that my boss wants me to be and has told me that I can be and will give me the promotion to be. And I keep sabotaging it.
Mm.
And she says, I know damn well when I'm sabotaging it. I know exactly what I'm doing when I'm doing it. When I decide to scroll on my phone when I'm not supposed to be, or I just pop up the internet and search a couple of things and then go back to work and say it took me longer when my boss knows it wouldn't have taken me longer, but I lie and they know I'm lying. She says, like, I'm doing all kinds of things to create the inefficiencies. And I know now I'm being told it is within me. And that it's actually something that I now have to address and know I can. She says, this gives me the encouragement to know it is within me. And that changes my attitude about myself today.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat with her and I said, I think that's really cool that you could sit here and just hear about a past life and how you lived in that lifetime and then think and fully believe that that's a part of yourself and you want it. And now you're going to actually do the work to access it. I said, I think that's phenomenal. And it's the very reason why I so love doing past lives for people
mm-hmm.
so that they have that ability, they have that opportunity. So in the second lifetime, she shows me that she's, I think it was around Israel, and she's writing. She's a male, and she shows me that she's writing for one particular group of people, and they want her to write history. They know how powerful it is to write what's happening in history. So she's supposed to rewrite past history. So if someone's just gone through a war, they come up to her and say, this is how you're going to write it. And so she starts to write it. And then she realizes by listening to what's going on, the other things other people are writing, her coworkers, for instance, that it's like, this is changing. What do you mean you just wrote that? I just wrote this. And you can see where there's a ton of confusion going on amongst the writers because they have to please now these military commanders and religious people as to how the story is going to be told. So the military people want certain truths said because they want to look good. And the religion is coming in and saying, we want to look good, or we want things hidden. We want it hidden under what the military and the government says. We don't want anybody to know we're the ones driving those policies or driving the whole structure. And I see in that lifetime, as they speed it up and show what happens, is that she can't keep anybody happy. And eventually she's tortured and she dies for what she's written, in spite of the fact that she's simply writing what she's being told to write, which is crazy.
Yeah.
It's absolutely crazy. So I tell her that, and she looks at me and she goes, oh my God. She goes, Karen, I'm a writer. And I said, what? Again? And she goes, I'm a writer. And I said, oh, hold up. Don't tell me anything else. I need to ask them something. So I said to the guides, okay, so obviously, you know, she's a writer again. What is it you want her to know then? Like, I'd like to know, what am I supposed to say on her soul's behalf and your behalf that she's in this lifetime again doing it? And they said, yeah, we want her to know that we know that she's in a block right now. She's struggling. She doesn't know what to write. She's really struggling, and she's afraid of not making any money. And if she doesn't make money, she's afraid that she'll be put out on the street. And if she's put out on the street, then she will die. So it goes right back to that my writing and what I write will cause my death. But this time it's through, if I don't have the money, I will die. Mm-hmm. And they said, could you please tell her that? And I said, yes, I can. And I said, is there more? And they said, yes, there's more. But could you tell her that first, please? So I did. I said, Bruna, this is what they want you to know about this life, about the writing. And she goes, She goes, it makes total sense given what I talk about to my friends when I'm worried about my writing. And it makes sense because I know that I need to leave my partner. I need to get a divorce, but I won't because I'm a writer and I rely on my partner's financial stability. So she says it is connected to the money. I see what they're saying. Could you go on? And I said, yeah. So I go back to the guides again and I said, what else do you want her to know? And they said, yeah, she's in the wrong genre this time. She's trying to still write it factually like she did in the other lifetime. This life is that she's supposed to write fiction, and it will give her the ability to create character. It will give her the ability to tell a story, but that nobody can fact check her story or worry about the messages in the story. But we do realize that she's still worried about where it's published. We want to suggest that she look for her stories and her work to be published outside her country because of what's going on in her country and where what people are writing is constantly being under attack right now. Books are under attack. Free speech is under attack, all of it. So we want her to write fiction and we want her to be able to consider other countries until she's safe or her country is under new leadership to be able to have it published in her own country. So when I say this to Bruna, she says to me, oh my goodness. She says, first of all, writing fiction is what my husband says I should be writing instead of writing for the newspapers as a reporter, that I should actually be doing the fiction so that I would have my freedom. And she says, so this is really interesting because he's just proposed this to me recently because of how stuck I feel and that this would allow me openness, but I still felt stuck with it because they're censoring books now. And she says, but having it published in another country, even on another continent where I could still have the financial success, is a resolution to my problem so that I could still be a writer. She says, it's the answer to everything. So she says, I found this really helpful today because there were solutions and I didn't even understand I would ever find options or that I would find solutions to my current problems in life, that I would find the support from another lifetime. And she says, you know, she says, I died in that other life as a writer. And she says, that's my biggest fear in this life, is that I am going to produce something right now in the country that I'm in, and that they are going to hunt me down. I feel like I'm going to be burnt at the stake again. And she says, I don't know, and I don't even want to know if the answer was I burnt at the stake, like burned alive? She says, but that's the fear I've got, is that I'm going to be hunted down and killed and tortured for what I do put out there, if it's truthful. Or meaning that they'll just find my body and I'm shot up, or I'll go missing. And she says, so I do have all these fears about what's going on and what I'm to write. So she said, I'm really grateful because you're giving me these options and some direction. And maybe understanding about the past lives and how I died can let me let go of that fear of the death. At the end of the session, she walked away with, okay, this is what I can do. This is where my fears have come from. I don't have to carry that fear into this life because I can solve these problems in different ways. I have different choices. And she says to me, you know, she says, my husband's been saying, let's pack up and move. She said, and then I think, yeah, but I need to leave you too. And she says, now I'm realizing that maybe I do need to move. I do need to move away from my husband, but maybe it's also the right time to move to a country where I want to be. Like, how the whole thing worked out at the end was that she felt more confident, and she felt that there were parts of herself that she still had to tap into and discover about herself and really get in and work so that she could be the full person she wants to be here on earth. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Love it. Thank you for sharing.
You're very welcome.
Thank you for listening to Coffee with the Sarlows. If you enjoyed the show today, please be sure to subscribe on your podcast platform and leave a review. New shows will air every other Saturday.